You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. We're on the road. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's June 23rd, 2021. I'm in Las Vegas. Went on a mine tour, family visit. First time I've traveled since March of 2020. Hard to believe. And aside from wearing a mask in the airport and on the airplane, because let's face it, we're dealing with a federal government. Of course, they would be the last ones to recognize that the majority of the threat has ended. So if I had been sitting on the plane without the mask, it might have almost felt normal, but perhaps we are in a new normal. At least that's what many of you out there believe. And so too with my next guest. Tell me how your normal has changed. Send me an email to kl@carrielutz.com. Right now, our good friend is back, and his name is John Paul Mendoza. And John, you're a well-known author, and you're putting together the basically the roadmap for the post-COVID resumption, I guess, for lack of a better term, of life. So we're in this so-called new normal. If I hear that again, I mean, I'm just going to totally turn it off. I just remember Eisenhower, one of his most famous or infamous quotes was, "Things are more like they are now than they've ever been before." And who could argue with that, right?
I think he nailed it on the head there. So, Carrie, glad to be back. All I can say is, quit thinking about normal. Think about life. Things have changed. We've pivoted, and now we have to move forward. And if you don't move forward, if you don't actually get your act together, if you don't think differently, then what's going to happen is you're going to keep doing this. It's being stuck in the past. And as long as you get stuck in the past, you don't get to move forward. And I've seen this year after year with clients who are going through, like when I'm doing a turnaround, is they'll tell me how it used to be. Well, if they had a Wayback machine, we could get back to that. But no, now we're in the soup, we're in the muck, we're in the, big old nasty. So we just have to go and do what we need to do today. And those who figure that out right now are going to do really well because the economy is going to go through a snapback. Whole bunch of your competitors are like gone. There's a whole bunch of people who are unavailable and there are opportunities. But the question is, do you have the eyes to see them or not?
That's such a great point. Do you have the eyes to see the opportunities that are before you? This is why personal responsibility is so important. Because if you go through life, John, as a victim, then things happen to you. You're the receiver. You're never the initiator of the action. So, look, COVID hit. There's always uncertainties. There's always things that are going to, a plan is great, but then life happens, as the saying goes. So I'm not saying that you can't be basically caught by surprise by circumstances. I mean, how many people could have really planned for a pandemic? But what you do in response to it is really the thing. And I always say, and this has been my philosophy in life, if I'm not succeeding, it's not because something the world is doing to me or circumstances or anything else. It's because I am missing something. I'm missing an opportunity. I'm missing a way of taking advantage of an opportunity. So what do you say to personal responsibility? The PPP money's running out. All the federal bennies are running out. It's time that you're going to have to put on your big boy pants and really do this thing on your own.
I agree 100%. I think the first place it starts, though, is this, Carrie, is that if you spend any time asking and talking about conspiracy theories about where this started and where it didn't start. And you want to read all of this? Because I have clients who get obsessed with reading this stuff. That's time that you don't have to get ready and go out and get on the field. And, you know, you're right. Personal responsibility. What are you going to do? What are you, how are you going to proceed forward? And more importantly, sitting around and finding out how this is all going to shake out. I've been saying for over a year now that we are going to know exactly what we should have done at, you know, like 2043. So for all of you who are really wanting to know what we should have done, how we should have laid it out, how everything would have worked out, put the pause button on your life. Fast forward to 2043. And by then, all the data will be in. Somebody will have spent monster amount of time, you know, collating it. But you know what? I got life to live. So forget about all that. You know, it's time to move on. By the way, if your business went south and you went down the tubes, and you know, I had the joyous occasion of doing a double bankruptcy back when the real estate market in the early 90s crapped out in California. I got to tell you, you just got to put it behind you. And yet I know people who went through much less than I went through who are still carrying it around. I call it, they're carrying around bags of shit. You know, you could call it manure, whatever, but they're carrying around these bags of shit. And they walk in and they smell terrible. I mean, Carrie, you've seen these guys. They smell terrible. And you go, what's that? And they go, well, these are my bags of shit. I carry them wherever I go. And I help spread them out for everybody.
Well, this is a family show, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Manure.
It's okay for the guest to use profanity, but the host never does. You know, it's the conspiracy theories and all that. Yeah, they're like little things. You could think about it. It doesn't matter because we are where we are now. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? I'll tell you one thing that's totally changed for me, John, is I got this wallet, you know, and I got about 10 different credit cards for different companies, different ATM cards, and all of this. And what I realized is all I did was I took pictures of everything, all my cards, and I put them in. And if you're trying to hack into my computer, I've got a lot of security, but in my Apple Notes, I've got one note for all my credit cards. I've got my license on there. I've got some other important documents, my Wi-Fi password. And basically, I don't take the wallet with me anymore. I figure if a cop stops me and he looks at the scan of my license, he's going to be able to verify that it's me. So what do I need a license for? And all of these other things, I just don't carry anymore. And that's, I credit as a direct result of COVID. And, you know, it's like I have a lot more space in my pockets now. Yeah, if I need some cash, I'll bring the cash. But otherwise, unless I know I'm going to a place like the ATM, because of course the banks haven't figured out how to do contactless ATM delivery of cash or deposits. They can't figure out how to do that anymore. They originated it. I mean, it's so ridiculous, John. I go to the Centurion Lounge at Denver Airport. All right. They've got a credit card. It's in Apple Pay. I show them that. They said, oh, no, we need the physical card. I said, guys, you're like contactless payment, everything else. Why do I need to show you my credit card? So, you know, you talk about how it changes. I mean, I know it's a little absurd what I'm talking about, but basically, the only thing you need now is your phone and a couple of bucks in your pocket and your car keys. You can leave everything else home.
Well, I think in some ways that's true. However, we have now new rules. And of course, that's the downside of COVID in my mind. It's sad that 600,000 people in the U.S. died. Not good. But the saddest thing is that we have 330 plus million people who have now been constrained by more regulations. Example, if you want to run a business and you want to go get a business account, it is actually harder to get a business account today than it was when I got my first account 48 years ago.
Oh, forget it. Yeah, and customer. Know your customer. It's ridiculous.
And this is all about regulations to do what? How is it going to help us? Well, and by the way, this is new for all of you out there who don't know this. This is all, you know, inside of the FDIC and how they regulate banks and what they have to do and the amount of energy to do this. And this is in my mind, a huge step backwards. They don't recognize the gig economy. To me, people have said, you know, John, what do you think is going to happen to the gig economy? I think it's going to do pretty well, But the government is going to, governments are going to do everything they can to stop it. Because once you get the dog off the chain, they may not come back to the yard.
Yeah. How are you going to keep the boys down on the farm after they've seen Paris? That was the saying after World War One, when all of these farm boys marched off to war in France and got to see that there was a whole nother world. You know, the gig economy is such a great example, but you did have the government recognize the gig economy in terms of giving out unemployment, giving out bennies, PPP loans for Uber drivers, all of these things. So the gig economy is here to stay. And actually, I've been talking to Uber drivers all around the country because I'm traveling, and they're all making like anywhere from $300 to $1,000 a day doing Uber. Now, I don't think they're depreciating their vehicles or capturing these implied costs or accrued costs that come with it, but they're still making money at it. So if Uber drivers can make money, then I think anyone can do it, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Doré Copper Mining is a premier, near-term, high-grade copper and gold redevelopment opportunity with tremendous exploration potential only 14 kilometers from the town of Chibougamau in mine-friendly Quebec. Doré Copper is debt-free and owns a 2,700-ton-per-day mill with an 8-million-ton tailings facility ready to be used. There is already power to site, and it is accessible by paved highway and rail. Doré Copper aims to produce a profitable hub-and-spoke operation of over 100,000 gold-equivalent ounces per year, or over 60 million pounds of copper equivalent by 2024. Because of the existing infrastructure and location, a low capex is anticipated to recommence production. Doré Copper trades under DCMC in Toronto and under DRCMF on the OTC. To learn more, go to dorecopper.com. That's dorecopper.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Oh, I think so. And I do believe that we are going to see a globalization. The warning I have is that under the current administration or regime, or whatever you want to call it, is that we are going to see a lot of regulations that are put in place, because there is a real, how do we keep track of all of these people when they're not in a traditional setting and they're not in a traditional space and all of that. To me, you know, that's an interesting direction we're going to go. However, I can tell you that the globalization, Corona really drove globalization. I have clients who are in Peru and Australia, New Zealand, I mean, Philippines. I got them all over the place. I have people who are working with me all around the world. So you're going to keep seeing more of that. And that is only going to get more commonplace, especially as technology continues to proliferate. And for all of you who think that technology, that we're like at the end of this whole technology thing.
Oh, no.
We are in the beginning of this, not the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what's great, though, is that what we would consider old technology, 5 years old, many of you out there never really figured out how to properly integrate it. Because, look, contactless payments been around for quite a while, because we've had those chips and RFID technology. Really, restaurants have had to totally come on board with this. And their technology has leapfrogged by probably 10 years. In Europe, in Canada, they had remote payment terminals that waiters, waitresses came to your table with for 25, 30 years. In the US, we didn't have it. Now we finally have it. I don't know if it's for better or not, or they just give you a check and you scan the QR code and you make your payment. You give them the tip right there and you're done. So old technologies are getting better utilized as well, John, because they had to do it.
And what we see is that if you're out there running a business now, you have to ask yourself, how do I integrate better technology? And I'll give you, and this is, so we'll give Kerry a little bit of agita right now, because I'm going to use the F word. And the F word is friction. Is that if you have friction in your system that makes it harder for clients and customers to do business with you, you're on the road to failure. You are on the road to perdition. You are going to go through some problems. all the things that Kerry just talked about is all about reducing friction in the system. The more you can reduce the friction, the faster you can make this thing go, the better it's going to be. And you need to constantly think in terms of how do I reduce that friction for my clients, for my customers, for my members, for those people, so that way I can actually accelerate how quickly you can do business. And this is important. I've actually gotten involved in multiple opportunities because of the pandemic. And one of the things that we asked in an industry that typically takes 5 weeks to deliver something, I asked the shameless question, how could we figure out how to do that in one day? Is that possible? And now the guys who are in the business who brought me in said to me, John, it's impossible. There's no way you can do it in one day. Maybe not, but how do you aspire to do it? Because here's from the customer's perspective, Amazon can deliver a big screen TV to me in 2 days and I don't have to worry about it. And yet you're telling me it's going to take 5 weeks. So we all are living in an Amazon world. We're all driven by this. So use the F word, write it down, friction. Find out where there's friction in your system and reduce it or remove it.
Yeah, I love that term because you see it. One thing I learned a long time ago, and before we had all this technology, we barely had PCs, personal computers, is that the easier you make it for somebody to do business with you, the less likely they are to not do business with you, the more likely they are to do business with you. And yet every step of the way is fraught with peril. It's just like when you're filling in a form online, you want info, whatever, the more information they ask you on that form, the less likely you are to fill out that form and just say the hell with it. And because those are barriers. Now they're minute barriers, but there are psychological barriers. They require expenditure of minute amounts of energy, but they are often enough to cost you the sale. So friction, as in the process of somebody becoming a customer of yours, and things that make them say no, or it's not worth the bother, or who cares, or who needs this, why do I need it? Anything that pauses the selling process, that gives them a chance to hit escape, if you will, is friction, and it's going to stop you from doing your best.
And it goes beyond to the point where if you can make it easier. So I'm in the Costco and I'm checking out. Right, I got my mask. I'm checking out. You know, my wife says pick something up for dinner or get something going. I don't want to stop anywhere else. And I go on, and the app I use, again, they don't send me anything. By the way, if they're out listening, you can send me free stuff if you want. Uh-huh. But I go on to the Pizza Hut application, because the Pizza Hut application lets me order a pizza easier than any other app that I've been able to use. And they happen to deliver to my house. So I get that done while I'm checking out at Costco. And the woman says to me, while I'm checking out Costco, what are you doing? I'm ordering a pizza. We have this little discussion. It's a 25-second discussion. I get out the door and the pizza is on its way. And they have like a ticking little clock showing me the little car going to drive the pizza. And, you know, it's almost like Mario Brothers. And, you know, pizza arrives 10 minutes after I get home and it's done. Now, interestingly enough, I don't know of an app. It might exist, but they haven't figured out how to do it, which is where a nice local pizza place, which may have a better flavor, better pizza, has made it that easy. I don't want to hassle with it. So in that case, ease of ordering, ease of use trumps better quality food. Now, you know, Kerry happens to be in Las Vegas, as he shared with us, one of my very favorite Italian restaurants, which is in Caesar's Palace. You're not going to go there and spend, because it's a real Italian restaurant. These guys have a location in New York City and in Las Vegas. You're not going to get out of there in less than 2.5 hours. And I've seen people who are on that, you know, caffeine drip, crazy American thing who go in there. I love it because it reminds me of like going to Italy, because you're not going to get out of a meal in Italy in less than 2.5 hours. I mean, you know, somewhere in there, you know, the maitre d' and the chef and everybody's going to come out and see you. That is a different experience. But if I need a pizza fast, I'm going to hit the app. So the question is where do you live on that spectrum? How do you position yourself and how do you fit in that?
Yeah. And that is such a great point. So yeah, there are places you want instant service, and there's other places where if I'm at that restaurant, what restaurant is it, by the way? Maybe I'll check it out tonight.
I believe it's El Molino.
Oh, of course. Yes, yes. I know El Molino well from New York. So in El Molino, if they go there and they want you out of there in 15 minutes, you're going to be angry as hell because you're spending a couple hundred bucks there for dinner. And it's like, why are you rushing me? But there's a time and place for everything. But certainly leading up to you getting there, you're making your reservation on OpenTable or on Yelp or whatever. And, you know, you're finding the available times, all these things that we do now that that used to take a lot of time in the past, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, it's, you know, shameless plug. It's in my book. Most businesses fail in the first 5 minutes. Just takes them 3 to 5 years to realize that. I talk about El Molino and compare them to, well, you guys will have to read the book, but it's a, you know, I love that restaurant. Also, if you're in that section, for all of you who are out there and you are wondering how to really get great marketing insights and sales lessons, is that you should make it a point of going into various stores, various businesses like El Molino, experience it and capture what they're doing right. Because they're doing a lot of right things. And you're right. You're not going to get out for less than a couple hundred bucks. Not even going to get close.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's really interesting. So, yeah, what do they do right? What do they do wrong? Are they really annoying for no particular reason, making demands upon your time and all these other things that just really can drive you nuts? And you know, you experience it every day. In the supermarket, especially, that's a place where they just don't understand anything about customer service, and they don't care to, because they figure you need the food. Where else are you going to go? Well, John, really appreciate your coming back on. Just tell us where we get your book and how we connect with you on the web.
So you can get the book at the first book, which I mentioned, you know, most businesses fail in the first 5 minutes. You can get that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Actually, wherever books are sold, you can go order it and you can get it. You can also get it digitally by going to Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble Nook, Apple, all those iBooks. Now, Remote Work for a Better World, which I talk about how to use Zoom, like Carrie and I are using right now, is available exclusively on the Kindle platform. And then you can always get me through positiontowinbook.com, positiontowinbook.com. Lots of good freebies for your guests, or not for your guests, I'm your guest, for your clients and for all those who are fans of Carrie. And I've become a fan of Carrie's. So go check it out, positiontowinbook.com. And you can check it out. Go pick up some stuff.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And if you got a question for John, just send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. We'll forward it off to him. And don't forget, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for your free newsletter. John, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.